Welcome to the Promises of the Constitution podcast.
Hello, this is Pamela Romney Openshaw, here today to talk to you about one of our great founding fathers, Patrick Henry, the Southern Fire of the Revolution. Sometimes it's fun to take a break from discussing Constitution principles and discuss one of our great founding fathers. And today we'll talk about Patrick Henry, the great orator. Patrick Henry was a Virginian to the core, born and died in the state. Born in 1736 and he died in 1799. He was a contemporary of George Washington, just a couple of years younger than he was, and he died 6 months before George Washington died. Patrick Henry was born into the culture of the Great Awakening, that period of time when America had turned its roots back to its Christian heritage, when George Whitefield, the great preacher, was traveling through the colonies for 30 years, speaking to the American colonists, drawing them back to God, and this became a uniting force to draw the colonists together. There's more information in Vignette 2.7 in Promises of the Constitution if you'd like to know more about George Whitefield. Patrick Henry believed that any valid government, especially a republic, must support religion, that religion was very important to public life. But he valued all religions, not just his own. His faith was the core of his character. In fact, one of his family members said of him that he was a warm friend of Christian religion. He was also born into a culture of an underlying political turmoil taking place in Great Britain. For about 100-150 years before the American Revolution began, a subtle change had been taking place in British government. Previously, the king had been the great and powerful force in Great Britain, but gradually through this period of time, Parliament had gained in power. And so when King George III came to power, the Parliament was so powerful that the king didn't have the powers that he had previously had, and King George was determined to change that. So there was a great deal of conflict going on in the British government at that time to restore that monarchical power. In the middle of all that, the American Revolution began. In fact, that political conflict in Great Britain was part of what brought about the American Revolution. Great Britain had amassed a huge national debt, fighting the French and Indian War in the American colonies. They had experienced a revenue shortfall going from $72 million to $130 million in just a 9-year period of time. This was a serious problem. And in addition to that, they were having to maintain troops in the American colonies, and so they literally were running out of money. The reason they decided to tax the colonists was because of this economic shortfall. Now, the British had not been taxing the colonies prior to that point in time. They had only been placing tariffs on goods that were exchanged between the two countries. And there was so much wealth going on from this trade that money was pouring into the British coffers in sufficient amounts. Even though the tariffs were poorly enforced in the colonies at that time, smuggling was an acceptable profession. If you could find a way to get around the British, you did it, and everybody profited from that. But in addition to that, the colonial charters required the consent of the colonists before they could be taxed, and Great Britain ignored that. They simply imposed these taxes. And so the Stamp Act was visited upon the colonists in 1765, and that is when the man Patrick Henry first appears in our well-known history of the United States. There were two resistance centers that developed to Great Britain over this concept of taxation. One was in the north, centered in the state of Massachusetts, with Samuel Adams being the fire that drove that movement. The other force was in the south, in the state of Virginia, and Patrick Henry was its driving force. And so Patrick Henry's speeches became well known and circulated widely among the people. The man was, his speeches were eloquent, they were commanding. The man was audacious and witty. He was, in fact, unforgettable. His speeches were unforgettable. He spoke like a gospel preacher and had that great ability to arouse moral fervor. So as the politics of separation developed in the build-up to the Revolutionary War, Patrick Henry was elected to the Virginia House of Burgesses, the governing body representing the people there in the state of Virginia. He took office in May of 1765, And a few days after he took office, on his 29th birthday, he made a speech that made him famous. This speech was recorded only by an anonymous Frenchman, so we don't know how much of it is embellishment or how much of it may be myth, but this is the way the story goes. Patrick Henry was trying to encourage fervor of opposition to the principle of taxation. And so he stood before the Virginia House of Burgesses and he said, "Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I had his Cromwell, and George III has..." At that point in time, he was interrupted by those other representatives from the House of Burgess who began calling out, "Treason! Treason!" saying, of course, that Patrick Henry was speaking treason. And Henry is recorded as having said, "If this be treason, make the most of it." Thomas Jefferson was 22 years old at the time, and he heard this speech standing in the doorway of the House of Burgesses, and he commented later on this great speech, that this great oratory was such as I have never heard from any other man. So Patrick Henry became very well known for his oratory. Some said that he could say nearly anything and get away with it, and he became one of the first to speak of independence. War came beginning in 1775. Patrick Henry was at that time a member of the Second Virginia Convention. It was his responsibility, continuing this fervor that he had, to prevent Great Britain from taxing the colonies when they had no right to do so. And of course, this had flamed itself now into a movement for independence. Patrick Henry was trying to ignite some energy and shame the Virginia delegates who were apathetic about this entire process. He was trying to shame them into action. And so he issued a call to arms that some have stated was the most electrifying speech of the Revolution. It was offered at the St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. And in this speech he said, "We must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us." He continued then, his words coursing throughout the church rafters. "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God." Then raising his arms, he thundered, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And some say, on those final words, he plunged an imaginary dagger into his heart and fell to his knees. Patrick Henry's speech has been recorded through history and quoted many, many times. And 4 weeks later, the Revolutionary War began. It lasted for 8 years, and finally the colonists had freedom. But they were locked into political chaos because the Articles of Confederation, the system of government that had been adopted quickly during the Revolutionary War, was not working. It was a sham. It was a good learning experience for those who later drafted the Constitution, which did work. And the colonists were simply buried in corruption, in lawlessness, and in runaway inflation throughout all of the colonies. And in that political climate, the Constitutional Convention was called in order to rectify the system of government. But Patrick Henry refused to attend because he opposed any attempts to initiate a new form of government, because he feared too much federal power. He knew the dangers well. And so this precarious balance that had to be struck between federal and state powers was on his mind, as it was on the minds of many of others who went to the Constitutional Convention. The question, where should the line be drawn between federal and state powers, had to be answered. After the Constitutional Convention, when the Constitution had been completed, George Washington sent a copy to Patrick Henry. That demonstrates how much he saw Patrick Henry as being an influence for what was to come in the ratification process. And he included a letter stating that the document that he enclosed was the best that could be obtained at this time, giving us a window into how the founders felt about the Constitution of the United States. It wasn't perfect, but it was simply the best that could be obtained at this time. This was the system of government that James Madison had called a compound republic, offering the double security of horizontal and vertical division of powers. But still, Patrick Henry opposed the document. He said that the central government was too powerful, and he saw Virginia as the last defense against this document coming into play and becoming the governing document for the nation. The ratifying convention held in the state of Virginia lasted for 25 days. It pitted James Madison and George Wythe, the great legal mind of America, against Patrick Henry and George Mason, one of the three individuals who attended the Constitutional Convention and refused to sign the completed document. In his opening speech, Patrick Henry stated that he believed that a wrong step made now would plunge the nation into misery and the republic would be lost forever. He believed that there was too much power in too few hands, and he believed that we must weaken the federal government. He continued, "I see an awful immensity of dangers with which this document is pregnant. I see it. I feel it." He spoke of angels watching from the heavens, reviewing the political decisions and revolutions which will happen in America. Don't we hear that kind of doomsday thinking today sometimes? Sometimes that doomsday thinking is accurate and sometimes it's not. In this particular case, that doomsday thinking was not accurate, because for well over 100 years, abiding underneath this document, we had the greatest prosperity of any nation that has ever been recorded in modern history. So our document worked. Patrick Henry's fears were not valid at that point in time, but we certainly do appreciate the fact that he invested so much of himself in that. In the end, James Madison's reasoning won, and the vote in the state of Virginia was 89-79 in favor of ratification. Sensing his defeat, just before the final vote was taken, Patrick Henry made his final speech, and in that speech he said, "I will be a peaceful citizen." And when the vote for his side was lost and mobs began rioting outside the convention hall where the ratification convention was held in Virginia, Patrick Henry held true to his word, and he sent the mobs home. He kept his hope in the amending process provided in the Constitutional for being able to change that document in the ways that he believed change needed to come. Surely, Patrick Henry was one of America's truly great men. What would we have been without Patrick Henry? If you would like to know more about Patrick Henry, I discuss him in 5 different vignettes in Promises of the Constitution. You can go to the index and look at Patrick Henry and find those vignettes. Please join me in learning more about Patrick Henry. He was an amazing man. Thank you so much. See you again soon.
To have Pamela speak to your civic or church group, please call 801-373-0240 or email openshawenterprises@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Promises of the Constitution podcast. Be sure to go to Pam's website, promisesoftheconstitution.com, to purchase her books, DVDs, and her online educational courses available to watch on any electronic device.